America's healthcare one American at a time.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hi, neighbors. First, I want to remind you that Paracast is brought to you this week by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. So let's take a look at the background of today's show before it begins. And I have to tell you in advance, as usual, we posted a section in the question bank forum at our forums at forum.theparacast.com asking our listeners if they had a question of our guest, Aaron Kaplan. And there's a lot of skepticism out there. I'll tell you that right in advance. And we're going to have a lot of questions to ask when he joins us shortly. But basically, Aaron Kaplan is author of a book called Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion. Normally, we get a lot of letters from people who have written books. They say it has all the answers. In this case, I was interested for two reasons having nothing to do with the paranormal. One, his name, Kaplan. My wife's maiden name is Kaplan. I don't think there's any relationship because Kaplan in the northeast part of the USA is a very common name. Second, Aaron Kaplan, our guest, and I, we went to the same high school in different years. So there is kind of a crazy quilt connection there, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to react any more favorably to what he has to say, so we'll go with that. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I guess there's one way to find out, Gene.
Yes, there is. We have Aaron Kaplan on the Paracast. Now, as I said before we brought on Aaron Kaplan, I have some things in common with him which he doesn't know about yet. But, Aaron, I want to welcome you first to the Paracast.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Aaron, your last name, Kaplan. My wife's maiden name is Kaplan, but I do not think we're related because Kaplan's a pretty common name in that part of the country.
Okay. I used to go out with an Esther Kaplan. Esther. She was a hottie.
Okay. And the other thing is you...
you and I...
Okay. The other thing, Aaron, is you and I went to the same high school.
Uh-oh. What year?
I can't say that. You know, I think it was in the dark ages. Yeah. You know, I actually lived, yeah. I used to live in Terra Nova. That's that place you see in the TV show where they go back 85 million years.
I graduated field in 1964.
Okay. Okay. So that's our connection. But the real question we have, Aaron, is before we talk about your book and your conclusions, tell our listeners something of your background, how you came from the point you left S.J. Tilton High School in Brooklyn till now. Tell us about a little bit about your life and what got you interested in paranormal subjects.
Well, I was always interested in aircraft, and I grew up in Israel. I used to belong to a flying club. I used to fly gliders. You know, I was a little kid, 12, 13, 14 years old, and I used to have a lot of fun. I used to watch a lot of sci-fi movies. My most favorite was, you know, the beautiful space movies, the UFOs, the Forbidden Planet. I used to love it. And some always intrigued me, what's going on? When I came here and I graduated from high school, I started to go to a school in Flushing, New York called the Academy of Aeronautics. It's a aerospace college. She graduated in 67. Between the two schools, I used to go to a meeting. Well, I went to a meeting in Manhattan, a MUFON meeting. I remember the old name. The Project Blue Book and so forth. They had meetings in Manhattan where they showed you a movie.
Yeah, but I think you're getting a couple of things mixed up here. In the 60s, okay. There was... I think the Mutual UFO Network did start in the 60s, but there was also a group called CSI of New York at that time. And then, of course, Project Blue Book was the Air Force's project. So I'm kind of confused here what you meant.
Well, I was exactly very young. I was like 17, 18 years old. So I couldn't give you the exact name, but I used to belong to one of the clubs. And I went to Manhattan to see the show, two movies, one 8mm and one 16mm movies. One showing those five, if you remember, those five are playing the missing of the Bermuda Triangle. So forth. We watched that. Then the guy showed another movie related to Roswell. But that was, I remember very well, not 16mm, but an 8mm movie, which was taken by the little Piper Cubs from the took-up from Roswell Air Force Base. Now, that movie was for real.
Was all right, what the movie that you're seeing here, this was a movie right. of the Roswell crash or what?
Yes, yes. It was taken by U.S. Air Force pilot from a Piper Cub. Flying over the crash sites. Now, remember, there was not only one site. There were more than one. There were 7 and 9 crash sites. All right? Now, let me explain. So, watching the movie 2 or 3 times, the reason why I watched it more than once is one guy that sat in front of me, a grown-up person, asked the operator of the projector, sir, can you please run it one more time? So, he did. Then the guy said, stop. Run it again. As the guy was running it, the newspaper man in the movie was silent. He was a very silent movie, no voice. But you can see the lips of the pilot moving on the ground when he was interviewed. And the man in the audience gets up and actually says the words of the pilot. He says, you see it matching his lips movement. He said, this has happened between 8 and 9 areas, to my knowledge, the last 48 hours, okay? So apparently this is like a hush-hush movie that you cannot find anymore. It slipped out.
Okay, so let me phrase this.
I am like, Aaron, yeah. I got to say, you're throwing me for a loop here, buddy. You're talking, what year was this about?
It was exactly 1964, 65, between high school and college.
Let me throw something in the middle before Chris finishes his question. During those years, Jim Moseley, the editor and publisher of Saucer News, before it became Saucer Smear, he used to hold weekly meetings.
Yes, he was there.
Okay, now, therefore you and I might have met. Okay, the key is here is that I distinctly remember all those meetings, all those sessions, because I was there and I was part of Jim's helping crew or volunteers. I was a young volunteer.
Right.
Okay, the problem is, I do not remember any such movie like this, period. Don't remember any movie like this. In fact, I don't remember that we ever talked about Roswell, period. Never happened. I have no memory of this, and I went to those meetings. So you've got to explain. It must be a different meeting.
There was one meeting. It was one of the hotel room, the church in the middle, and there were two movies shown. One was 16mm, I'm pretty sure, because I remember the projector. And the movie was about the Bermuda Triangle. There's 5 missing planes. I forgot the exact name of the planes. That's not important. Then another movie was shown. But that I remember was a different projector. It was 8mm movie. And that's when that occurrence took place.
I understand, but it was not at a Saucer News meeting. I can guarantee you that, because if that information had come about at a Saucer News meeting, number one, I was at most of those meetings, so I would have seen it. Number two, because I was helping Jim Moseley in the editing of Saucer News, there would have been coverage. There was no coverage. So, yeah, maybe there was a meeting in New York at that time. I can't obviously vouch for all meetings that were held, but it wasn't Saucer News.
Well, it might not have been Saucer News, because remember, I was very young then. I was like 18 years old. I don't remember the exact name. All I know is I joined those clubs, and one meeting that was in Manhattan in an hotel room, not an auditorium, it was like a big rental, like a big meeting room.
Sure. That was very common in those days where organizations would rent a meeting room, usually at a mid-level hotel, of course, because they couldn't afford to go to a Waldorf Astoria or something like that. The Waldorf Astoria, obviously, was too expensive for them, so they had to go to a more economical venue. Now, the other possibility would be Tim Beckley held meetings, too, but he was even younger. I don't think he was holding meetings at that particular point in time. So, all right, so let's assume then this was a different meeting, that you saw these films. Did you attempt at any time to follow up on this to find out exactly what was happening? Before you answer that question, I have to tell our listeners, our guest is Aaron Kaplan. The book is called Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion. And we're going to the background now of Aaron's history, discovering the UFO mystery. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
As you know, the PowerCast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For our listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service, such as Leslie Kane's UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Officials Go on the Record. For that free audiobook, go to audiblepodcast.com/PowerCast. That's audiblepodcast.com/PowerCast. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Hello again. I hope all is well. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. We're your source for gold and silver. Not much has changed since we last spoke. The economy remains in the tank. Unemployment is a national disaster, and there's zero leadership in Washington. Experts tell us that the stock market is headed towards 7,000. The deficit will continue to climb. Still, gold is expected to go to 2,000 by the first quarter. That'd put silver back nearing 50 bucks. Frankly, Scarlett, there are no solid options available beyond precious metals. Please give me a call, John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, for an informative, no-pressure conversation. John Swenson, 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
You can't argue with success. And many people have found great success in fighting back colds and flu viruses with Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. So now, it's time to get even more success with the other great quality natural products from Affinity Health Products. Like C-Energy Liquid Vitamins, Lose and Snooze, and the One Day Diet. Or Human Growth Hormone Support, Menopause Specialist for Women, and Joint Specialist. See these and many other quality Affinity Health products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. That's A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y HealthProducts.com. Or call in your orders at 877-888-7126. That's 1-877-888-7126. Trust your health to the makers of Ali-C, the world's best garlic extract. Affinity Health Products, the finest and most innovative natural health products available.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We're back with Aaron Kaplan. The book he's going to be talking about is Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion. But first, we go back to New York City in the mid-1960s in the borough of Manhattan, where Aaron attends a meeting, a UFO club or something, where they show two movies, one of the Bermuda Triangle, you know, where in certain cases aircraft disappeared under supposedly mysterious circumstances, and then another movie showing something about the crash at Roswell and other locations. Now, after having seen this movie, did you talk to the people who were showing it? Did you get any more information?
No, I was too shy. I just, you know, I stood there a few minutes, and one or two guys did ask questions. There was one guy that I remember distinctly, slightly bald-headed with glasses, acted very silly. I just walked out and just went home. You know, I was very young, 17, 18. I wasn't a professional then, just a student. So I didn't pay attention to what's going on around me. But whatever the pilot said when his lips were moving, I never forgot that until this day. It stuck in me real deep.
Okay, so at what point did you say, you know what, this is something we need to follow up on? Where did you start to really consider it seriously?
I guess with time, you know, my background was mostly aerospace. I worked for all the big companies like Federal Republic and Farming Long Island. Now they're closed. Grumman Aerospace, DF-14, DF-111A, Tepper Sikorsky Aircraft in Connecticut, Pratt & Whitney Jet Engines, which I took a patent on, Eagle Corporation in California, New York, for submarine warfare for the Navy. So it's pretty well rounded up. When you work with these people, you hear stories from one person to another, nothing specific. But I was always interested. I used to listen very, very closely to Coast radio shows with Art Belfort and George Norrie, and I was always very deeply in it.
Do you by any chance, Aaron, remember Long John Neville in the 60s and 70s?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember his name.
Okay, because he's the pioneer of paranormal talk radio. Whenever we consider this subject on radio, Long John Neville was the guy who invented it. He invented the all-night talk show format, and probably a lot of the people who do talk shows today or something along the line. Okay, so you listen to the radio. At what point did you start to do serious research?
After reading many books and listening to all the programs, each author, each researcher says, well, my book has the answer. And I'm listening. It's mind-boggling. I did not get an answer, okay? All the books left me hanging up in the air.
Yeah, again, I'm really confused here because, you know, Charles Berlitz didn't coin the term Bermuda Triangle until 74, 75, and Roswell wasn't on the map really until 80. So, you know, you're talking 65 here. I mean, you're 15, 20 years ahead of when the public really was made aware of these subjects or even the terms. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, Gene, but wasn't the Bermuda Triangle, wasn't that term coined by Berlitz in the 70s?
I knew Berlitz, by the way, okay? And I advised him on some of the material he used in the book, The Philadelphia Experiment. All right, I was one of his sources, and I became friendly with Berlitz, so I know something about the man. And I have to tell you that, no, he didn't coin the term, Chris. There had been reports of strange goings-on in that region.
Well, yeah,
before Berlitz.
19 and all that, of course.
Sure,
yeah,
sure. But that term is not Berlitz's term, not his invention. It came out before then.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you guys one more clue, if you allow me. I came to this country in November of 1960. And a few months after I came here, I remember distinctly the abduction of so-called Bernie and Barney Hill. It's a name that I'll never forget, that I guess happened September 20th, 1961. And I don't remember exactly what they said, but I do know that couple of years later, some doctor came out who was hired by the Air Force, Dr. Colin Hynek. He was called to investigate certain seduction or certain sightings. And I'll never forget the hysteria of his words that really got me going when he spoke about a swamp gas in somewhere in Michigan. When I heard that, okay, as young as I was then, I just started college, I think, it really got me going because I knew right there in that moment, okay, that something is going on, not only cover-up, but it's way beyond the cover-up. So I guess at that time, I started really, you know, getting into it. Hmm. And well, I also remember from Benny Hill, not at the time that the big news came out, but a couple of years later, and I've got to be careful, be very careful what I'm going to say now, is they mentioned when they abducted on a UFO or flying saucer or whatever it was, they've seen some beings inside the spaceship. First, Betty Hill claimed she heard him speak some sort of a German accent, but it wasn't German exactly. And they've also seen some other strange beings on the spaceship. But what I do remember as distinctly is I read a book, I can quote, that on the same flying saucer, I'm not saying flying saucer because I'm assuming that's what it was, there was a woman standing in the middle between those so-called tall blondes. They described him as being tall blondes and a few grays in the background. But the woman in the middle, okay, she seemed to be very pretty. You spoke to them in pure English. Again, I got to be very careful what I'm going to say now. She said that her name is Ishtar. I know it sounds very, very blunt, but after that happening, to the mid-70s, there was a very famous writer called Zechariah Sitchin, and his first book was The 12 Planets. I read the first book very thoroughly. The rest of his books, I just glanced through, basically the same theme. But his first book got me going to what was really going on. It gave me the biggest clue ever to the connected, the crashes so forth at Roswell and to his theme in his books. The best way that I can describe what really, you know, got me going into the subject.
Yeah, Aaron, you're talking about Zechariah Sitchin and his book, The 12th Planet?
Right.
What's the connection here between Sumeria, you know, changing a couple words in Sumerian, coming up with a whole new take on Sumerian legends, and Roswell? I don't see the connection.
Oh, wait till you hear this. It's going to blow your mind, okay? I'm claiming in my book is about DNA. And I'll give you the answer to my book right off the bat. You won't have to wait to the end. The cause for the crash of Roswell, believe it or not, was DNA. Okay? I know it sounds absurd, but exactly what I found out in my deep research is phenomenal. It's unbelievable.
All right, how did you find this out?
Through a lot of research, and one night, just sitting and thinking, it came to me out of nowhere. I went back, researched the Old Testament, the New Testament, story of Noah, when God called him, he's a righteous person, whatever. The Mount Sinai incident, when Noah went to Mount Horeb for the burning bush, and God said, I knew your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I said, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, in the beginning, there were no Jewish people, there were no religion, there was nothing. Noah wasn't Jewish. Abraham himself wasn't Jewish yet, only his son became Jewish later on. What's going on? Then I said, oh, my God. The so-called God was following a certain DNA line.
Now, I'll tell you what, before we get into the DNA line and lots more, if you have a comment or a question, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. We have Aaron Kaplan. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, folks, in today's fast-paced work environment, getting everyone in the same room for a meeting can be challenging, especially when they work in different locations. And that's why I use GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. It is amazing. You can collaborate online by sharing your presentation. While seeing colleagues face-to-face in high definition, they can hide their blemishes. Video quality is so clear and natural, it's like being in the same room. And all you need is an internet connection with a webcam. It's that easy. So here's what I can do. For example, on the Paracast, which I host with my friend Chris O'Brien, we live in different locations. We need to share something, a document or something like that. All I have to do is call him up with GoToMeeting, and I say, Chris, take a look at this, and he said he's ready to go. You can try GoToMeeting with HD Faces free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, enter the promo code PODCAST, use the promo code PODCAST.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Right now, for the month of October 2011, Freeze Dry Guy is letting their customers get first dibs on the meat bucket special. That's roasted chicken, Southwest-style chicken, teriyaki-style chicken, stroganoff-style beef, cheesy ground beef, and savory roasted ground beef. Just add hot water and enjoy. Portable, easy, convenient. Real meat, real good. Supplies won't last with this special offer. Order today to beef up your freeze-dried meat supply. You'll even get $20 back in survival bucks or loyalty dollars when you beat the rush and order our freeze-dried meat buckets. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Aaron Kaplan with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. He's author of a book called Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion. And we're in the subject of DNA and somehow relating this to the Bible. I don't know if I'm understanding this. Would you explain further, Aaron?
We have a crashes is Roswell. Nobody knows why. Well, here's what happened. There was a failed experiment, basically. Those UFOs that crashed at Roswell were not the fallen angels or the Nephilim. They were piloted by the Greys, who were manufactured thousands or millions of years ago by a race called the Anunnaki, which is very well described in the Grassetton's book, The 12 Planets, and the other books, and by the Nephilim themselves, the fallen angels. Now, here's a kicker. There was a failed experiment of DNA. Why? Apparently, those UFOs hit something in space, the flying information, and I'll prove it later on, towards the moon. But unfortunately, there's something on the moon, not a base, but a device. There was installed there by the Anunnakis to prevent the so-called, the original fallen angels from escaping this earth. It's an invisible barrier that cannot be seen, that originates on the moon and is all around the earth like an invisible ball, a mesh. If anyone of those Nephilim try to escape the Earth's barrier, which is a quarter million miles away from the surface of the Earth, the height of the moon, if they hit it, that barrier will detect it and destroy it.
Okay, you know, you're going way ahead of us here. Aaron, you're going way ahead of us here. All right, we have a barrier. This is not the Van Allen belt.
No.
Okay.
The fallen angels, when they landed here, they were so-called punished by the gods, which according to the Sumerian books, or as Krasik, and the gods Enki and Enlil and San Marduk, they're imprisoned to this planet. This is their hell, okay? They're not tied by change, by chains, or by handcuffs, or anything. The only thing that keeps them here is an invisible barrier around our planet Earth. they cannot penetrate it.
Invisible barrier, but how did we therefore come to send men to the moon? How were we able to send probes to Mars and elsewhere? If there's an invisible barrier, is it specifically dedicated towards this race or what?
Yes. And let me explain it to you, not a bombshell. Those fallen angels, through generations, of course, intermarried with the women of Earth, and we also carry their DNA. So let me ask you a question now. Do you remember any mission so far, of mankind that went beyond the moon?
You mean other than the landings of the Apollo program?
Well, they were still on the moon. It's still the surface of the moon. Still within a barrier. But you know of any mission publicly known to us by the U.S. government or by Russian government of any manned mission that went beyond the quarter mile, beyond the 250,000 mile barrier?
Okay, so it's living beings. It's not simply spacecraft. It has to have intelligent passengers?
Living beings, I mean, we, the human race, who carry...
In other words, what you're saying is we're quarantined on this planet is what it sounds like you're saying.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, Aaron, you know, I really have to be honest with you. All this stuff is fascinating. I think it would make a great science fiction novel, but... You know, you're really stating a lot of things as fact that you have no way to back this up. I mean, and demonstrate any sort of direct scientific evidence that would support your conclusions. I mean, it all sounds very plausible. I mean, in a dramatic sort of science fiction sort of way. But here at the Paracast, we require a little bit more evidence and. And, you know, I quite frankly, I'm sitting here with my jaw on the table going, you know, this. I can't believe this guy is saying this stuff as fact. We don't know anything.
I'm going to give it to you. Do you remember approximately, let's go in the timeline back from Roswell. Can you tell me roughly what happened about a week before Roswell? Something very, very famous.
Well, of course, the sighting from Kenneth Arnold. Okay.
Well, a huge wave of activity all down the West Coast.
Sure.
Right. Now, exactly 1 week before the crash at Roswell, exactly 1 week, there was a sighting on June 24th by Kenneth Arnold, okay, over in Washington State.
Yeah, our listeners are really up to speed, so we don't need to go and recount
right.
The
now
Kenneth Arnold.
He said he saw nine UFOs. Flying information. After he saw that, when he landed, when he spoke to the state trooper, he said that the leading UFO was not round, but in the shape of a crescent.
All right, so we are on the same page here. The original report of Kenneth Arnold's sighting talked of nine disc-shaped or crescent-shaped objects. Later on, it was reported that, in actuality, the lead craft was the one that was crescent-shaped. Just clarify that point, that's all. The term UFO was not used because it wasn't invented yet. It was invented later on by Captain Edward Ruppelt. He referred to them as having a motion that resembled saucers skipping across water. And someone in the press said, aha, flying saucers. That's where it started.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Good idea.
Good. Now, one of the UFO press sites in the Roswell area, I'm not sure whether it was actually in Roswell, but throughout New Mexico, one of the crash sites, some described the UFO as being not round, but half a moon shaped. So officially or unofficially, I'm trying very hard to tie the two together. That those nine UFOs seen 1 week earlier flying in formation in the sky were a week later the same nine 7 to 9 UFO that crashed in Roswell. Is it far-fetched? Maybe not.
All right. Well, number one, the Roswell crash does not describe nine or even seven objects, okay?
Well, like I said, like I told you before, when I looked at a movie, or the 8mm movie, okay, the lips of the pilot who was interviewed, his lips said specifically, this happened between 7, 8, or 9 locations.
Okay, so that gets back to the other thing here. We have a legend of the Roswell crash, where people remember different details. We have stories about another crash at Aztec, New Mexico, and that's disputed by a lot of UFO researchers, but I do know that some researchers such as Scott Ramsey and also Frank Warren do favor it. There's going to be a book about it later this year. But I'm still not seeing this connection with all the stuff in the Bible. You know, I'm not really understanding this yet.
What I'm going to say is when Kenneth Arnold saw those nine UFOs a week earlier, those nine UFOs, supposedly now, were on a mission.
Well, I assume if they are real, they had a mission of some sort. How do we propose to understand that mission?
You only understand if you try to put all together as one puzzle. One section by itself, you will not understand.
But why do we have to do that? Why should we do that? Why should we assume all these separate events have some kind of unification? Isn't that maybe stretching a little bit?
No, because at the end, if you hear all my evidence, one by one, put it all together, you tell yourself, oh, my God, it fits.
All right. Now, that's something we're going to get into as we look into the history. I'm going to ask you, and Chris is going to ask you, about the evidence and why you think that evidence points to a frightening conclusion from your deep analysis. And the book is called Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion. The author is Aaron Kaplan. The book is also available freely to our members in our forums at forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com where you could download your copy. You're listening to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to hairersoft.com. HairerSoft.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Question. When the next disaster strikes, will you be ready? Answer. Yes. If you have top quality survival gear from thesurvivalzone.com, these days it's wise to keep a survival kit in your vehicle, home, and office. Thesurvivalzone.com specializes in ready-to-go wilderness, 72-hour, and compact survival kits, plus freeze-dried and dehydrated food, MREs, stun guns, non-hybrid seeds, and much more. Call 603-838-5933 to be prepared with thesurvivalzone.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Aaron Kaplan. The book is Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion, with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And I have to tell you, Aaron, I'm not, you know, trying to put anything down because, frankly, we still are waiting for your evidence. We're looking, you know, at the various parts of the whole before we look at everything. When I set up a forum, a message thread in the Paracast community forums, the first question that came to mind from our listeners is, was this book meant to be fact or fiction? So I assume from talking to you, this is a factual book, right?
Definitely a factual book, according to my gathering of evidence that I come up with. Very, very factual for my sources.
Okay, so let's move beyond Roswell and Kenneth Arnold, and let's look at other so-called parallels. What else?
Before Kenneth Arnold, something other major thing happened. Very major. The government is trying to keep very, very quiet, which is Operation High Jump. Now, you have no idea what a connection. Again, according to my findings, Operation High Jump has to do with Kenneth Arnold and Roswell.
How so?
During Operation High Jump, publicly, it was known as a scientific expedition. Look for minerals and so forth and so forth. Quietly behind closed scenes, it was a mission to find some hidden Nazis from World War II that hid under the ice in Antarctica, in the South Pole, supposedly. So we have a fleet of 40 peaceful ships, 40 warships, two aircraft carriers, the Philippine Sea, destroyers, submarines, all headed toward Antarctica. And one of the head people on the fleet was Admiral Byrd, very famous person. He flew many missions, as we all know, in 20s and 30s and 40s to the South and North Poles. He was pretty familiar with territories. His mission on that big mission, Operation High Jump, was supposed to be a peaceful mission. He was basically in charge of six aircraft called R-4Ds or RD-4s, which are basically converted DC-3s, full of cameras and very highly classified equipment. The main camera type that was used in his missions was the Trimetricon cameras. Supposedly, there are three lenses. One lens pointing straight down to the ground, one lens in a 45-degree angle, and one lens straight out. Now, those six planes took off from the aircraft carrier, the Philippine Sea, I believe roughly on January 29, 1947. Now, those six planes were tied by chains to the deck carrier. So that carrier, if its fighters wanted to see any action, would not join any action until those six planes took off first. Everybody seen Admiral Byrd step into the second R-4Ds, take off from the carrier. By the way, those planes took off with the snow skis right on them. Very risky, but they did it. They took off to a small base in Antarctica called Little America 4, I believe, which is roughly a trip of 800 miles away. I'm going to stop 1 second here and go back a few hours. When this fleet entered the area of Antarctica, the center of the South Pole, everything was very, very peaceful. Now remember, there were roughly 4,000 plus people throughout this fleet, sailors, American, English, Russian joined, Australians, even some Polish, and a few other countries. They started to attack what was supposed to be German fortifications on the ice in Antarctica.
Wait. When did this happen? This is after World War II?
It happened right the last week in January and the first 2 weeks of February of 1947. It's called Operation Hijack.
This is after World War II. We're still at war.
Yeah, 1947, Gene.
Okay.
After the two bombs dropped in Hiroshima, three years after, it was supposed to be a very peaceful operation, but it was not. Somebody knew what's waiting out there, but they weren't positive. As soon as that kid entered the area, everything was very peaceful. Now, the reason I understand why the U.S. government did not want to be known to the world what they're doing is they didn't want to start World War III. But once they admit that they may be attacking, hiding Germans under the ice in Antarctica, that would start World War III. So everything was hushed up.
Well, we just beat the Germans. How could there be World War III if they're just hiding under the ice and there's probably not many of them? I don't understand, you know, your terminology.
Well, apparently before the end of the war, the Germans already knew they were going to lose the war. So what they did, very quietly in secret, as crazy as it sounds, they gathered many young men, mostly Germans, some Europeans. They gathered them for a special mission.
Yeah, New Schwabenland, and supposedly they, you know, had a submarine base and other things there, but...
That's correct. You're right. You're right on. You're correct. But one more thing happened. Something else was there besides the Germans. Okay. I'll go on, you'll understand. You may have heard it, but the audience may not have. As soon as our fleet opened fire on those so-called fortifications, they were suddenly attacked. And listen to the nosebleed sound out of this world by flying saucers, UFOs. But by two types. To attack with two types of UFOs. One looked like UFOs that we saw in pictures, like German UFOs, looked like mechanical built. With all the strange names that they were given. Those UFOs opened fire on the fleets, caused heavy damage. While at the same time, between these UFOs, some other UFOs appeared. Huge. One was almost as big as a battleship. They were very smooth, very shiny. They didn't fire one shot. They came from under the water, flew over the fleet, and back in the water. The scouts. As soon as our fleet stopped firing, they stopped firing. That happened 3 to 4 times. We had some heavy casualties. I'm not going to go into the name of ships on that's not called for. However, at the same time, you have to remember that Admiral Byrd was already on his way among six Hardy Fours toward the base, Little America 4, for peaceful missions to take pictures of the area with a very famous metrical cameras. Now, here's the catch-22. The government will try to brainwash the whole world that Admiral Byrd was not in South America at the same time, but he was in the North Pole. And all the crazy stories of Admiral Byrd being in the North Pole, going in the Earth, are fake, and it never happened. So here's the catch. Admiral Byrd at the exact time was never in the North Pole. It was in the South Pole in Antarctica, taking pictures. Now,
I'm going to interrupt you here, Aaron, for a second, because the late Ray Palmer used the presence of Admiral Byrd in different parts of the world as evidence that actually he went and visited the Hollow Earth. You ever hear of that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but I'm still wondering what you're basing this engagement supposedly you're describing.
You know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, well, where's this information? You got to qualify this for the listeners here. I mean, where did you get this information?
I sure will. Those cameras aboard the RD-4s were called trimetrical cameras. Now, I researched it very carefully. The film used was a very special film by Kodak on those cameras. That film was made to be used only during daytime, extreme daylight hours, not at nighttime. Now, do you know what the North Pole looks like on the second week of February? It's black. It's celestial winter. So how could anybody tell me that Admiral Byrd was in the North Pole in the second week of February? No one. It's a lie.
All right. Well, maybe he wasn't there at the North Pole. Maybe he was at the South Pole. But I think we're looking, Chris and I, for evidence of some kind of engagement with UFOs, where shots were fired, and that's something we have to explore in more detail. What can I say? But we've got a lot more coming. If you have a comment or a question about the Paracast, please let us know. Please write us, news@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. And by the way, we also have those great Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Once again, that's forum.theparacast.com. Pay us a visit. Our guest is Aaron Kaplan. The book is called Deep Analysis, Frightening Conclusion. I'm Gene. The co-host is Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.